Good afternoon. This is John Devaney. I would like the clerk to call the roll as we bring this study session of the Yakima Regional Clean Air Agency Board of Directors to order.
Okay. Jose Trevino? Absent.
Can everybody hear us okay?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Okay. Jose Trevino? Absent. Stephen Jones?
Present.
John Devaney?
Here.
Vicki Baker?
Here.
Brad Hill?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Were there any items to add to the study session agenda?
We have none.
Okay. Then we'll move into the actual study session presentation on the fiscal year 2021 budget. Mr. Hurley.
So good afternoon, board members, board chair, and public members listening in. I'm going to assume that everybody either has a paper copy or has access to the digital copy of the study session slides that are within the board packet. With that said, this is the annual study session to present the closeout on the 2020 budget and the proposed FY21 budget. So you can follow along with the slides, which officially start on page 3 of the board packet. Going to page 4 of the board packet, the process for the new board members, every year we go through this process to make sure that we get a budget approved in accordance with the Clean Air Act, which states that the budget will be approved no later than the fourth Monday of the fiscal year. So January through March, we go through an analysis of the first 9 months. Then we have to project the last 3 months of the year, the last quarter, to come up with the current fiscal year analysis, and then we do a budget off of that year. So on April 13th and April 20th of this year, we made a public announcement in the Herald, and then on the 15th and the 22nd, we ran another announcement in the Sunnyside Sun, because they run on different days, announcing the public comment period for the budget, which always runs from May 1st to May 31st. This year, I think we actually posted the budget a day or two early. So then on April 24th, we actually announced the public comment period on our website. Next slide will be the process continued. So on April 30th, I think we might have done it the 29th of this year. We actually posted the proposed budget onto the ANC website under public announcements, under the budget. And then on May 14th, which is today, we're going to offer it for discussion during the study session. And then on May 27th, we'll run announcements in the Herald and the Sun. That's probably a Tuesday or Wednesday, the same day the Sun probably goes to print. And we will be announcing that. As always, at the June board meeting, the board chair will conduct a public hearing in order to receive public testimony on the proposed budget. Then on May 31st, public comment period will end, and then we'll go to slide 6. And then at the June 11th board meeting, during the meeting, as I just stated, the board chair will conduct a public hearing on the budget, hear public testimony. The hearing will then be closed, and the board will act on the adoption of the proposed budget during the action items. Moving down to our four-part budget format, you'll see before you, when you look through the proposed budget, an itemized comparative analysis, line by line. We have an account-by-account explanations. We have proposed resolutions to implement the budget, and then we have appendices, which form the basis for the budget itself. Moving on to budget strategy. So every year we try to maintain the operational reserves at 25% of current year projected base operation expenses. We try to maintain capital reserves at 10% total capital replacement costs. We don't have a lot of capital replacement costs, and a lot of the capital that we do have is old enough to be valued at its current salvage value. So you're going to see that those numbers aren't very high. We identify opportunities always to reduce program costs. It's not just during the budget review period. It's throughout the year, and we're pretty good about identifying any that we can, we implement. Then we identify fees needing adjustment to ensure cost recovery, I think the last time the ANC adjusted fees might have been, I would say 10, 11, or 12, but we're, again, I'm not seeing a requirement to adjust fees this year, and those fees are usually addressed in November because they're adjusted for the next calendar year. So moving along, our first task is to reconcile the FY 2020 budget. We identify actual revenues and expenses for the first 9 months of the year, as I stated earlier, July through March, and in this case, it's FY 20. We then turn around, we estimate revenues and expenses for April through June, which is the fourth quarter of the FY year. Then we move to estimating the FY 20 budget. It's either a surplus or a deficit. So if there's a surplus and if we identify it, we identify the funds that are available for FY, for carryover from FY 20, and in this case to FY 21, or we identify any need to supplement the proposed budget if there's a shortage, the proposed FY 21 budget with reserve funds. And since I've been the director, I don't think we've ever had to supplement the budget. I think one year I forecasted that we might need to, but we did not have end up having to do that. So our second task is to estimate what we think the budget should be to cover expenses in the following fiscal year. And this year it's FY 21. So we review work programs in each of three operational areas: base operations, grant operations, and enterprise operations. Grant operations are funded through grants, and so those expenses have to be tied to those grants. And enterprise operations are Northwest Opacity Center, where we go out and teach other agencies and private businesses how to read opacity. So those revenue streams and expenditure streams must match up, and they do, and you'll see that. So we estimate expenses of programs within those three operational areas. We'll then have to estimate revenues available for each one of those operational areas, and then we'll determine the adequacy of the revenues to fund each one of those operational areas. And moving to the next slide, our third task is determine the FY, in this case, FY 2021 additional funding requirements if we would need to do that. And what you have on this slide, which is page 11 of 100, is the strategies that we would employ if we had indeed identified a shortage. If there's a shortfall, we could carry over adequate funds from the previous fiscal year, in this case FY 20. We could supplement the budget with reserve funds. We could reduce program and work costs. We could increase these and or increase supplemental income per capita assessment. Or we could do a legitimate analysis that would maybe examine if it's better to use a strategy requiring all or a combination of any one of those strategies on that slide. So FY 21 budgetary notes on page 12. So what we're projecting here is we're projecting a final FY 20 total revenues are up 7%. That increase, as you can see, is due to the rather large two-year grant that we got for wood stove changeout. The projected final FY20 total expenses are going to be down 6%, and that's going to be because of, obviously, we had that was primarily driven by professional services under base operations, which I'll get into a little later, but those expenses were down more than what I had requested, but we have to look at that a little later in detail, and I'll explain that. So operational reserves are funded at 25% of the FY20 base operations final expenses in the proposed budget, and that's approximately $190,847. Our capital replacement reserves are fully funded at 10% of the estimated total capital replacement costs for FY20, which is approximately $8,615. Federal 105 base grant funding is forecasted to remain level for FY21. So I think you'll see us, you'll recognize that we're forecasting the same amounts. Moving on. So the FY21 budgetary notes continue. So our state base grant is also forecasted to remain level for FY21. The FY21 salaries are increased insignificantly by 0.1%, less than 0.1%. The FY21 benefits are reduced by approximately less than 0.1%. The increase in total FY21 salaries and benefits is approximately 0.17%. The FY21 total base operation supplies are reduced about 9%, and then our FY21 total base operation services has been reduced by 6%. But FY21 base operations professional services is the driver of that reduction, and we've reduced that by approximately 16% because we did not see some of the legal expenses that we saw, that we were anticipating, but those can feasibly be anticipated in FY21. So I reduced the request, but not to pre-FY20 levels, because that would, in my opinion, would not be prudent. So your next slide, page 14, has the 9-year salary and benefits comparison through FY21. As you can see, salaries have been on a little bit of a decline, but they're pretty stable. Salary reduction in the benefits total reduction from FY20 to FY21 is 0.2%. It's actually an increase of 0.2%. And so that's a graphics representation of how we've been how the agency has conducted business over the last 9 years. Moving on to the next slide is the base operation supplies and services comparison for the same 9-year period. You can see that, as I stated earlier, supplies base operation supplies are being forecasted to be reduced by 9.3%, and services are being decreased by about 6%. And then the graphic indicator there on the supplies is pretty self-explanatory. The services, however, the older in terms of service, board members remember, we would serve the paperwork for the lawsuit on a public records request in December 17. And for the second half of FY17, all of FY18 and FY19 and some of 20, we've seen an increase. That's why the red line starts to go horizontal on us here, is because of legal fees associated with that lawsuit, but also with there are a little bit of legal fees that have been associated with a civil rights complaint that we're probably going to put behind us later this year. So the downturn on the apex there on the slide is me reducing the budget for now, but anticipating that next year we might need to increase that as well. Going to the next slide. So FY21 budgetary issues. So as you can see by the numbers, everything pretty much stays level. Professional services, there should be an asterisk beside it, because even though I've reduced it, we're anticipating picking up some more legal fees next year when the courts get caught up, and if we end up going back to court, having more work done on the public records issue. And that's the public records lawsuit there that I'm referencing. So page 17 of 100 here, we'll talk about the proposed revenue for FY21. So I'm proposing a revenue of $1,295,066. That's about a 14% decrease over FY20 budget. That decrease is driven by a significant drop in wood stove changeout income, and we've seen a slight decrease across the board in all operational areas due to the COVID-19 issues, but not enough to try and budget for. So the primary driver of that 14% decrease is going to be us not getting the large amount of money that we got in the wood stove changeout last year, because it's a 2-year budget or grant, and we've spent probably 60-65% of it already. And then you can see the appropriate breakdown by percentage on the bottom of that slide. Going to the next slide, you'll see our FY21 proposed expenditures, which are about approximately $1,081,579. That's a 16% decrease, and that decrease is driven by two things: the obvious drop in professional services on the with the legal fees that I've talked about at depth here, but also fees, expenditures related to the wood stove changeout program is going to be reduced as well, because we've already spent the majority, 60-65% of that money. And then you have the breakdown on those expenditures with salaries, supplies, services, and obviously no capital outlay on the bottom. So with that said, traditionally this is where I wrap it up, page 19 of 100. That is the proposed FY 2021 YRCA budget. We are in the middle of the public comment period, and subject to your questions, that completes my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Hurley. I'll start with questions and then go to those board members on the phone for any of yours. The proposed expenditures are below the proposed revenue. I'm assuming that will result in an increase in our reserves. Can you discuss our reserves and our reserve policy?
Yeah, so it may give us more in the reserves. Our reserve policy is simply what I've already stated, and then anything above and beyond that goes into the account. Krista, is the correct term for that the general savings account, or is it the investment account?
The general Yakima County Treasurer's account.
Right. What that's allowed us to do every year is carry forward the $125,000 carryover, which years before my tour was kind of the goal. It's about 10% of the total budget, so that helps. And then our reserves are that's all that our admin code calls for. They are funded. What would change that is if we were to buy, let's say we were to have a car accident for some reason and a car would be totaled, then we would have to purchase a new vehicle, obviously, and then that capital reserve amount would go up because that capital reserve would be based on the value of that vehicle at the time. Our capital reserve is low right now because it's only for items over $4,999. Those are not very much. There's two cars and a server. But the vehicles themselves, with the exception of one, those things are already, the one vehicle is already at its salvage value. So we've had it for so long. So that's the only reserves we anticipate. That's the only reserves we plan for. We're such a small agency that there's really, in my opinion, no need to anticipate any other kind of reserves. So I hope I asked your question.
Did. And then follow-up question is 63% of our expenditures are for salaries, and we have the breakdown of the proposed 2021 amounts in Appendix A. The year-over-year change was less than a tenth of a percent. Can you discuss, is that a result of changes in FTE levels, or have we kept all staff at current salary rates, or have we had some people retire or depart and been replaced with entry-level folks who are paid lower? Basically, can you explain what your overall, not without going into individuals, what the overall compensation policy is then?
Yeah, well, first of all, nobody got a raise this year, and everybody in the agency knows what my policy is on that. The 0.2% of the total is a combination of salary and benefits, because we pay benefits. And the reason it went up at all, it's hard to really narrow down the little things when they're that small, but the reason it went up is because Eric, we had a front office person that was extremely valuable to us. We hired him on at approximately $15 an hour, plus his benefits that we would normally give a worker, and Eric took a higher paying job at the Department of Corrections. That position is going to be filled starting at $16 an hour, and then the appropriate benefits, and I think that's where the majority of that small percentage increase has come from. And the reason they're going to get started off a little higher is because going through the civil rights discussion with the External Civil Rights Compliance Office out of D.C., we've identified additional tasks that we kind of need to do translation-wise, that position is going to be filled with somebody with those skills to do. And so the workload on that individual, the expectations are going to be a little higher, so we're going to start them off a little higher and see how they do. They're going to be required to get certified to be translator or a written interpreter as well. So we're going to start them off at a little more. And I think that's what's driving the majority of that small percentage. Other than that, I don't know what else.
Have we, you said you, we have some new board members. You said we know what your policy is. Can you explain your position a little bit more on, you know, on compensation adjustments over time for staff or
board
members?
So there's no written compensation policy in the admin code. My policy, the one that I've addressed at last year, I addressed it, is every 3 to 4 years I take a look at everybody's salary. I take a look at the budget. I take a look at the federal government's website, and I'm not going to be able to give you the exact website right now because on inflation and cost of living, and I take what an average inflation rate might be, and I'll take a look at it, and I'll take a look at the budget, and I'll see what the budget can withstand. And it's as simple as that. And so the members of the agency know that they're not, they got a raise last year. They got a 6% raise last July. So we won't even look at them, anybody in the agency, for a raise, you know, unless something happens where they pick up a lot more duties or something like that for at least 3 more years. And that's the internal policy. I don't know how deep you want me to get into discussing historical policies that may or may not be thrown out by board members prior, but everybody's on the same level playing field as far as we're concerned since I started. And then, of course, I'm separate from everybody. I've got an agreement, and the agreement is what it is, and so just it gets wrapped up into the whole salary and benefit numbers at the end of the year. So, what other questions?
Yeah, I would just observe that I appreciate the fiscal caution, but I also think that sometimes it's a budgetary challenge if we put off incremental expenses for several years and then try to absorb them all at once. There can be a substantial budget shock if we take an increase all at once, having waited 3 or 4 years to do it. I know I find that in talking to my farmer members, that if you tell them 1% a year, it's a lot easier to swallow than 5%, you know, several years later. And I think that we might want to look at projecting out potential changes over time a little bit more and looking again at when those increments of time for reviews come up, including yours, so that we can be projecting what the budget will and should look like in the coming years, so that we don't suddenly get a shock of a large, you know, adjustment in our biggest budget item all at once. That may be a follow-up study session item.
Sure. Understood.
But I don't want to monopolize the question time. Are there any other board members who have questions on the budget for Mr. Hurley?
Oh, this is Vicki Baker. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Vicki. I'm going to ask the same dumb question I ask every year.
Start with Vicki, and then we'll go to Dr. Jones.
I just wanted to say to thank John. Those were a lot of the same things that I would ask, and I agree with him on having the incremental increases. I think they are easier to plan. I guess my question was about COVID and long-term concerns about that, if we had any issues long-term, if there's any threats to the budget at all, or have there been any opportunities, because there's been so many federal grant opportunities, have you seen anything like that?
I haven't identified any budgets that are, I'm sorry, any grant opportunities specifically for air pollution agencies. That's one. We know there's a bunch coming out. As far as threats to the budget, I've been asking myself that question, and we've been business as usual in the sense that we've seen, I don't think we've identified even a drop-off in residential burn permits because people have been very happy that they can. All of the grocery stores that we use as satellite offices for those are still remaining open. They're still getting burn permits, and they've actually been appreciative of being able to call and get it online. And I'm addressing that because that's the most current realistic threat to the budget, because that's a revenue source that would deal with the office directly. Everything else is a grant or fees that would be collected through assessment. So our permitting program in general has not really seen a drop-off, because we're able to address all of that work telephonically or electronically on the internet. And I think that so that's why we've not really identified really any threats to the budget.
Can I follow up with that?
Yep.
I just wanted to say that, you know, this is a time when, you know, we've been going through and trying to find any threats like that that we should address, and I don't know if there's an opportunity that where if you see something in your operations where you need to invest a little bit of money in moving something online or making something like that available for the public, this is definitely the time to look at it, from my opinion.
No, I agree with you, and we've been trying for a few years here to move residential. I'm just going to use it again as an example, because it does bring in a significant amount of revenue. We've been trying to move it online, but we have issues with tech on that. And it's funny because the issues are very solvable by coming off of the internet, picking the phone up, and calling us. So it's kind of I understand and totally understand what you're asking. I just don't think we're in a position where we have a lot of threats just because of the way we're set up physically. The point of looking at it and trying to forecast it is going on. We have been doing that, and your point is very well taken.
And then I think, Dr. Jones, you had a question as well.
I seem to ask this every year, but we continue to under budget for civil penalties every single year, and we seem to collect far more than what we budget for. And just a brief explanation of why that continues to happen.
Yeah, so I've been here for starting my 14th year now. Before I was the director, I was the compliance supervisor, compliance director. From day one of my employment, we've always budgeted $2,500 for penalty. And the basic reason, the same reason we give every year, is because we don't write tickets to generate revenue. We write tickets when we can't get compliance with the rules. It's that simple. So we budget $2,500. We go out, we do our jobs when we have a legitimate compliance issue. I think, you know, over the years, the money generated by the compliance, by the infractions, the tickets there, looks large because you compare it to $2,500. Over the last probably 4 or 5 years, that amount has come down because the people in the community have very good buy-in on the compliance. So the reason why do we budget $2,500? Because we don't rely on any other income. If I were to budget $30,000 or $50,000 and then we only took in $2,500, that could be a significant impact on the budget. So that's why we do it the way we do it. And we've done it that way since day one, since I started here. And I think that's the total answer.
Thank you.
If I could ask a follow-up question related to Dr. Jones's, the revenue from any tickets and fines, is that only booked once it's collected? We frequently have to write off uncollectible debts. Are we only counting that income once it's received, or do we count it as income as the fine is levied?
No, we count it as it's collected. We forecast $2,500. If we collect, I'm just going to use these numbers as an example. I'm not looking at the page that says what we collected, but if we collected $35,000 this year, we probably wrote tickets in excess of $65,000, because I have great leeway to waive fines down as well, and customers usually get a significant break on their penalties as well. So,
okay. Were there any other questions?
If not, any closing comments, Mr. Hurley?
I have none.
Okay.
You can always send public comments to me via email on the web page as well.
Okay.
Just one clarification, you do not see any fee increases for this year?
I am not anticipating any fee increases for this year at all.
Okay.
Nor am I anticipating assessment increases.
Very good. That will close our study session, and it is exactly 2 o'clock. Good job, everyone, on making sure we did not have awkward pauses on the teleconference. We will move now into the convening of the regular board meeting of the Clean Air Agency Board of Directors. I heard a few beeps while we were talking, so would the clerk please recall the roll to confirm which board members we have on the line.
All right. Jose Trevino. Absent still. Brad Hill.
Here.
John Devaney.
Here.
Stephen Jones.
Here.
Vicki Baker.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Were there any additions or deletions to today's agenda?
We have none.
Okay. Hearing none on the phone as well. We'll move into public comments. We have not done public comments in a teleconference format before. So if you are a member of the public who would like to speak to the board on any matters relevant to our business, I ask that you identify yourself now. I will identify those people who wish to speak and then call you in order, since we cannot go to a podium in this format. We do ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes as usual, however. Are there any members of the public on the line who would like to comment? Any members of the public who would like to comment? Any members of the public on the line who would like to comment? You are saying your name and I'm not hearing you. You need to unmute your phone. Okay. Hearing none, we will move on to the agenda today. Approval of the consent agenda. We were all sent the meeting summary and the March and April monthly activity reports. We all had a chance to review those. Were there any questions about the consent agenda items? If there are no comments or questions, I would accept a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I move to accept the consent agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Baker. Is there a second?
I will second.
I second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Not all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you. Any opposed? So, all right, the motion is approved. Thank you. Executive Director's Report, Mr. Hurley.
Yeah, let me get that thing out here. Okay, so you guys have before on page 76 of the board packet, if it's digital that you're looking at, my board report for the month of March and April 2020. So the first bullet on there is the annual American Lung Association State of the Air attachment. I've attached the excerpts, the 2 pages of excerpts that are applicable out of that. So the American Lung Association State of the Air 2020 publication was officially released on April 21st. In their report, the ALA examines ozone, year-round and short-term particle pollution data collected from official monitoring sites across the United States for the years 2016, 2017, 2018. And in analyzing the publicly available air pollution data, the report lists Yakima County as the 9th most polluted county and the 5th most polluted city in the nation for short-term 24-hour particle pollution, specifically PM2.5. In the previous 2 reports, the city of Yakima was ranked 17th and then 6th last year. And if you remember last year when I reported to the board, for those board members that were here for that, I had predicted that we would probably see a slight uptick, and I had told you then that it would be because they dropped FY15, which did not have significant wildfire activity, and they would be adding FY18. So the 2 worst years were 17 and 18, so they they dropped 15, but they added 2018, which was significantly bad. And so we had a corresponding uptick from 6th to 5th. What's interesting to me is the ranking on the county. Last year, I don't believe we were on the county. I don't think this we were ever on the county list, and I think it was simply an oversight by the ALA. So we're 17th as a county, but this is really not we're 9th on the county. And it's really not news to us because we work in the industry. We know what we're talking about. We're within standard for the PM 2.5, but we know that we don't have a lot of leeway, and we know that our troubled areas historically, our troubled time of the year has been October 1st through February 28th or 29th, depending on if it's a leap year. So the AC attributes the 2020 ranking to the fact that the current report includes two successive years, 2017 and 2018, in which Yakima County was significantly impacted by extremely large and enduring wildfires. Moving up to the YRC regulation update, you have the timeline attached that we briefed you on in March, I believe, and the reason it's attached is because due to the coronavirus and the changing of with social distancing and all of that, we have canceled the two public workshops that were to be held because obviously we can't do that, but we are not going to not address the updating of the reg. So we having to make up for those workshops that, to be quite honest, they're not required. That was at my discretion. I then went ahead and said we're going to take the public comment period and increase it from 30 days to 60 days. So the new public comment period is currently running from April 3rd through June 5th. And just a heads up, in July, we'll do the same thing in July that we did in that we'll do in June for the budget. We'll have a public hearing to accept public testimony on that as well, and then the board will take action during the action section, during the action item section. So the number three is just a note that we've covered already. I'll cover it again for the public. The proposed FY 2021 budget is available for public review and comment. The public comment period for the proposed budget is from May 1st through May 31st, 2020. Proposed budget has been available for viewing on the agency website since April 11th, and we've ran the corresponding announcements in the Sunnyside Sun, which I think is their new name, and the Yakima Herald. And then again, we will have a public hearing for public testimony at the June 11th board meeting. Item four on my report is the numbers for March and April of 2020. Nothing significant in those numbers. And then you have the three air monitoring data slides for March and April. And as you can see, nothing abnormal or substantive on those graphs as well. And then attached to that would be the actual excerpts from the ALA report. And I think that, subject to your questions, concludes my report.
Okay. Are there any questions for Mr. Hurley? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to the action items today. Fiscal vouchers and payroll authorization transfers for January, it says. Is that correct on my agenda? I don't think so. Which months are we approving?
Is it on the agenda says... My agenda, in March and April,
yeah.
We went back and changed it. We probably didn't
I printed it too early.
So it's so it's fiscal vouchers and payroll authorization transfers for March and April of 2020. We obviously did not have an April board meeting due to the virus. So you have before you March and April accounts payable and payroll authorization. The budget verification analysis and supplemental income docs are included, as always, as informational items. So we need the board to accept and approve by minute action the March and April 2020 AP fiscal vouchers totaling $68,768.10 and $38,000 respectively, and the March and April payroll authorization totaling $55,891.53.37 respectively.
Is there a motion to approve the March and April fiscal report?
Move to approve.
Moved by Mr. Hill. Is there a second?
Yes.
Second.
Thank you. Seconded by Commissioner Baker. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 You, any opposed? Good. Motion is approved. Thank you. Moving on to uncollectible debts.
Yep. So traditionally, I don't get one of these as quickly as I got, but we did not have a board meeting in April, and I don't want it with June and July board meetings looking like they're going to be busy. I just want to carry this over one more month. So, yeah, before you, one more uncollectible debt that was identified by our collection agency, Evergreen. It is in the amount of $3,300. And the reason this is uncollectible is because it's gone past the statute of limitations. So we need the board to vote for resolution 2020-06, dismissing that uncollectible debt in the amount of $3,300. And the memo will also, or the reso will also direct staff to remove the debt. ORC's list of accounts receivable.
Okay. Are there any questions about the proposed resolution? If not, is there a motion to adopt resolution 2020-06?
I move to adopt.
I heard Commissioner Baker move to adopt. And who is the second?
I'm sorry, yeah, I move to adopt 2020-06 and remove the debt.
I second.
Second by Dr. Jones. Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Any opposed? Thank you. The resolution is adopted. Now, we do all need to sign these resolutions as board members. I know that there has been some investigation about that procedure. I am going to sign it here at the office. I think that we can all make arrangements to come by the office. Was it correct that we could do an alternate procedure that can signed and scanned in or faxed in? Was that approved? I know that was being investigated.
I think that's a wet signature, so yeah. I believe that is acceptable.
Okay. So if you are not able to come to the office to sign the original, would you please sign your copy, which was in your board packet, and either scan or fax it to the office to go into the file? And then we will follow up with you if that escapes your notice. I know someone may be calling in remotely, and when you return to a desk where you're working, you may forget that. But we will follow up to make sure we get that paperwork in proper order. And I know that staff are reviewing electronic signature options because normally we meet in person, and that is not as much of an issue. But apparently in this brave new world, we will be doing a lot more by electronic means in the future. But that may require some prior approval or amendments to our administrative code to make those electronic signatures part of our procedures.
Yeah, so just to piggyback on that, we've reviewed it, explored it, and Gary Collier, the agency counsel, has been involved with that. We must adopt a policy which must be approved through a resolution if we want to use electronic signatures as an alternate to a wet signature. And so right now we haven't proceeded down that path at all. And I think once we get through, maybe this might be a better time to address it with the budget and the Reg 1 update kind of taking up the majority of the time. But we are aware of it. We just can't do it without an approved policy. So
very good. Was there any other business before the board at this time? Any board members have any other issues they wish to bring up? If not, then I would accept a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Thank you.
Second.
Second. 2 seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. That motion is adopted. We are adjourned. Thank you very much for participating by phone, and stay safe out there, everyone.
Thanks, Don.